three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
All right, here we go. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this Wednesday, December 14th at about midnight on the East Coast, a bit earlier on the West Coast. Joseph is my name. Andrew Canyon, my co-host on the other side, who'll make himself known. Before that, I want to quickly run through the topics. I've gone a bit risky. I've given funny names to these topics. We're talking about, obviously, Brisbane, Brisneyland. Are Aaron Baines and the Bullets, much like Walt Disney, dead and frozen? We're talking about the Sydney Kings, road dogs or little bitches? If there's a dog thing, it's not. I think I can leave that unblurred. Adelaide, can we confirm they're a pretender? And Rajon Tucker and Melbourne United, empty carbs or macro-dense stats? That's talking about Tucker. And United, is their season totally done? And obviously, you can't talk about United without mentioning the Perth Wildcats. We're going through a slew of those things. Andrew, why don't you pitch the Patreon and the live show?
Yes, you want me to promote a couple of things, do you? Right from the outset. Okay, if anybody's never heard this podcast before, well, if you live in Perth, you can come and see it live. mblpocketpodcast.com/live to get your tickets. We're going to watch a game, the Perth Wildcats versus Tassie Jack Jumpers. Perth fans who may have been a little bit on the fence about going, thinking, Perth Wildcats, why do I want to watch them lose another game? Well, look, there's hope, right? They may be competitive by the time that Jack Jumpers match comes around. So that's Jan 29, but please, go to the website, book a ticket. It's $30. Mm. I mean, that's just us covering costs. We're not making money on this. You get to watch the game on the big screen at the Backlot Theatre, and then we're doing a live podcast with ourselves. We've got the sport blokes. We've got Nick Tan, Wildcats super fan, and it's supported by Full Court Fitness. So you've got all the notorious people there. So please jump on that.
Open bar.
Wow. Bring your wallet. Bring your
the bar will be phone. Open to bring your buy phone. Drinks.
Nobody uses a wallet anymore. What am I? Hey, boomer. What else do I want to promote? Do I want to put Patreon? Yes.
Yeah, Patreon.
Yeah, some people pay us money. You can too, if you'd like to. The relevant links will be in the show notes. But basically, go to Patreon, throw us a fiver a month. It encourages us to keep doing this and help. Actually, that money can help us host events and do interesting things.
That's right. So, we're probably going to burn through all that money making up the red on this live show thing. No, yeah. I'm kidding. it's good stuff. Andrew, well done.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's jump in. Let's just jump straight into it. Do you want to start with Brisbane? Do you want to start with Sydney?
Oh, we've got to start with Brisbane.
Okay. Wow.
Lots going on.
To recap for people, if they're listening in and new to the NBL or new to this round or new to the podcast, Brisbane fire James Duncan under weird sort of circumstances. We'll talk about that. Sam McKinnon, GM, steps in as interim head coach, and now he's out, another interim coach in. Am I right in saying Greg Vanderjagt? Am I pronouncing that name correctly?
Yeah, I've always said Vanderjagt.
And then with a new coach incoming, an American. And all the while, their record sucks. And they played probably one of the most insipid games over the weekend. This was an amazing round of NBL. This was an amazing round of basketball. And the Bullets were really the only blight on the whole round. Maybe a game earlier with the Hawks, perhaps, as well. But these two teams, and if it weren't for these two teams, this would have been an amazing round. Andrew, your thoughts on this Bullets?
The Brisbane Bullets are a blight on the entire competition at the moment, aren't they? They are just an absolute basket case. I would ask you, who's a more dysfunctional organization at this point, Brisbane or the Hawks?
I had the same question in my notes. more dysfunctional, Brisbane, because at least Illawarra, the spend is low. There seems to be something bought in there. They're just bad, and they've had injuries. So have Brisbane, but Illawarra have had an import go down. It's brutal. There's nothing worse that can happen in the NBL than a star player potentially in George King go down. So, but what I like about them is they've gone out and got They've got a really good import trio.
And George King didn't go down. Justin Robinson went
Justin
down.
Justin Robinson, pardon me. And George King they cut.
Was cut, which is a smart decision.
Smart decision. So they're active. They're at least they're getting guys they're seeing need. Oh, Siver's good. Frazier's good. And then they've got Harvey. That's a pretty decent trio.
That's not bad. There's something to work around, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of fun.
Hmm. So, but, yeah. Look, I think I'm agreeing with you in terms of Brisbane. They're a joke. And I don't know what has gone on with that team. It's been the most irrelevant organization since it's re-entered the competition. Like, have they ever mattered?
But there was one year where they made the four, got totally bounced. The series that Kadee didn't score a point, and Homicide came out and said NBL won. That was years ago, though. That was honestly NBL 19. Maybe? Yeah. So,
I mean, they should be one of the clubs. They're playing out of one of the larger cities. They've got some names on the team. They should be doing so well, and they're just not. It's just a joke.
They should at least be competitive. Right now, they're a blight on the schedule. They ruin games. Oh, they're playing Melbourne. That'll be a bad game. And it just the NBL with only 10, 11 teams. How many? 10? With 10 teams, there shouldn't be any gap in the schedule. There should be parity across the league. And yet you've got these two teams just anchoring, just dragging this league down. I hate it.
And so now looking at it, it looks like Sam McKinnon was basically not able to take on the coaching role. If they offered it to him for the season with no commitment after that. Mm. So his GM contract must be more watertight than that. So he bounced back to the GM role.
You don't believe that. How can you keep him as GM?
But then they announced that Vanderjack's going to be the interim coach, the interim, but he doesn't know about it. It was announced by press release and they hadn't told him.
I don't know what to say. And to me, I mean, if McKinnon's GM of the team by the end of the season, I'd be very surprised.
Well, the writing's on the wall on that one, right?
Totally.
But then they're bringing in a new guy. They're bringing in a new import. Who seems to offer no discernible benefit over the import they cut, Devontrick Walker.
Who was there and bought in and playing okay, was kind of hurt though. I thought he had a back issue, but bizarre. Just everything about this team is richly bizarre. Maybe they thought they could cut and save some money and bring in someone else. I have no idea what's going on. Really, this whole thing goes back to before the Duncan sign, before that, this all goes back to the Will Magne fiasco. I'm going to go ahead and say NBL 20, when he got the NBA buyout and they wanted a slice of it and wouldn't let him go, and Sam McKinnon's door knocking for cash. Ugly, 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 ugly look. And it's just been downhill since then, where they've lost reputation with presumably players, presumably agents, and they just can't do anything good. The other problem is this point guard thing. What promises have they made to Sobey where they're like, you want to play point guard on the Boomers, we are not going to recruit over the top of you at all. And it is killing their team. They're way up in turnovers. What have I got here? They lead the league in turnovers, full stop, turnover percentage. 17% of their possessions ended a turnover. It's just crazy. It's just absolutely mental. It's just crazy.
It's just, I don't, and if you're if you're a player in this league and you're getting free agency and you're thinking, where could be my next stop? You wouldn't even consider Brisbane legit unless you're desperate. You know, you're at the end of a roster and you're like, I've got no other place to go. All right, I'll roll my dice with Brisbane. But if you're a name player, you're not going to go there. So they're recruiting until they're, and it's known to be the ownership. So it's not like Sam McKinnon, the GM, is the problem in terms of, it doesn't seem that way. So you're not going to recruit anybody until you have a change of ownership. So they need to sell out.
Well, the question is, I mean, Kesselman owns a small minority in the club. Is he going to cannibalize into a majority and do something? But does he want to take on another club? Then he's got his finger in United, South East Melbourne, Brisbane, Tassie. He's got his finger in a lot of, maybe that's what he wants. Maybe that's, I mean, they need a new stadium. Maybe it's good business. I don't know, but it's just bizarre. And then I want to talk about Aaron Baines. So sign Aaron Baines. They blow up the hype. They don't at all mention listen, well, let's just taper things back a bit. He's still coming back from injury, da, da, da. They're fully pushing that he's going to change the league and he's going to be a star. Guy's been, I think, pretty unimpressive. Clearly either hurt or just not up to it, not physically capable of playing the way he wants. I mean, 40% of Baines' shots are from the three-point line. Oh, what is going on?
And it's such an ugly shot as well.
Oh, he's not making them. It's not like they're going down. He's bricking. And then he's 36th in free throw attempts per game. This guy is 7'1", 150 kilos. If he catches it in the keyway, who's going to stop him if he wants to just turn over one shoulder and lay it up? I don't understand. It's clear to me that he said, I don't want to get fouled. I do not want to get hit. It hurts my back and my neck and I'm not doing it. Yeah. There's no other reason why. I mean, these coaches are not stupid. James Duncan's not a stupid person. He'd want to post him up low all the time and, you know, do stuff like set a low pick and step in and seal for it, all kinds of stuff. There's been none of it. He's been floating around the outside. So he has been a little bit hurt of late, but is this guy just, is he taking the piss? That's my question.
Well, he's taking the cash. I think at this point you'd have to say he is. He seems so happy at the start of the season, just happy to be back.
Remember in the Brilliance doing the dunks and like the two small and the kids are going crazy and he was looking good.
It just seems like he's going through the motions at this point, just getting the reps up.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right.
Playing rehab job.
Yep. And it's a sad thing. He's not giving them what they need. And in fact, when they had in their last game, when they played Gak off the off the start, he was more impactful. Really, he was actually getting to the rim and throwing a few dunks down and being a genuine center.
Mm.
So
I mean, you've got Baines, you got to play him. But here was what was weird. I thought, because the dirty secret all season is the guy doesn't play over 25 minutes. Never. Yeah.
Is it a secret? I don't think it's a secret anymore.
Of course not. It's totally black letter. If he goes over that, it must be $1,000 a second, because, you know, it's never been gone over. But here's what funny is, he had against who'd they play most recently? It was totally forgettable. Melbourne, wasn't it?
I'm checking the roster now.
Yeah, do indeed. But anyway, the last game they played.
Yeah, Melbourne. 104-88.
He had fouls up until the third quarter. And then the last quarter, I was like, okay, I was really interested. I was like, okay, is he going to play up to the 28? He can play 8 minutes this quarter to hit the quota before we go over. And he didn't play the last 6.5 minutes of the game. Now, he didn't look great in the time he played, but you've got this guy. There is value in Aaron Baines. I feel dumb saying that out loud, but there is value in this guy, and they don't play him.
17 minutes.
Or he checks himself out and says, yeah, I'm done. I don't know what the heck is going on. I'm not impressed.
Okay.
Is he just taking threes to impress NBA scouts and say, hey, I've still got the range?
Well, does he have the range? He was 1 of 6 in that game. He's not showing much.
If you put together the makes, you look okay. I don't know what's going on.
He played 17 minutes. Rasmus Bark played 20 minutes. Now, come on. Give me a break.
Okay, we've dumped enough. What's the way forward?
For Brizzy?
Yeah.
Well, apart from a new ownership group, which...
With a mind to do what? With a new ownership group that has a mind to do what?
But geez, they're not going to... I mean, the current ownership group isn't one to sell because the value's gone down.
No, it's...
But what do they have to do? Look, well, the obvious thing is they need a point guard. They need to put Sobey on at the off-guard position.
And Kadee off the bench. That's Kadee not
off
bad.
The bench.
That's a, yeah, imagine that's if they okay. had. Imagine if they had Gary Brown or Shannon Scott from Cairns. They'd be an instantly better team already. Yeah. I don't get it.
Now you might want to bring. You got Tyler Johnson. You might actually want to put him back in the starting lineup at this point.
Agreed.
This off the bench thing was cute, but it's not going to work. I just think they could invest in your young guys and see what they can get you. Man, I don't know. I was so excited about this Brisbane Bullets team at the beginning of the season. Now I feel like a total idiot. It's hard to see a way forward for them.
Your blight is Brisbane. Mine is United. We each got it wrong. These things happen. I just want to say one thing. Sam McKinnon, if you had to give him a grade, performance grade.
As a general manager, not knowing what, you know, sort of limitations are placed upon him. As a general manager, like a D. As a coach, C.
Coach 2-3 game.
It's like 1-3, wasn't he? But the players seemed to like him. That was at least a start.
I'm not so sure. I'll just say this. If he's GM of the team, here's the bottom line. And James Duncan, decent coach, not great. But the big thing was, oh, we need to play defense and not keeping Lamanis. He had a big offer from Latvia. He took it. No problem.
Yeah.
But I don't think any GM can look in the mirror with a losing record, a GM of a losing team in the NBL, and know that Rob Beveridge is out there and not hire him and say, no, I did a good search for a position. I've found the right guy for the job. You cannot say that with any sincerity, knowing that Rob Beveridge is around, because he just makes you a better team.
Yeah,
more attractive, whatever. He makes you a better team and he cultivates talent. Any team with him on it, add 4 wins. He just gets you 4 wins you're not supposed to get. And if he's out there, why isn't it? I know he's got a reputation for being difficult, but at one point you have to just, what, you know, you're either a winning team or you're not.
I know this whole Brisbane organization is difficult. Like, who cares?
You know, exactly. Exactly. So you can structure a contract where it's like, hey, we're going to do a 1+1 on our terms. You know, we've got to rehab your, you know, we're going to see if we can work together. He'd take it. I know he's got other jobs, but he'd take the NBL, surely. Anyway, I just, Brisbane, they stink. They turn the ball over. You suck. And I don't know the way forward. And who's going to finish bottom, them or Illawarra?
Brisbane.
Wow. You don't toy with me, because I put quite a lot of money on when they were $101 to win the.
You've got them at the Wooden Spoon, do you? Was that
totally? We could go back and listen to that episode we did with Woody. I was like, Wooden Spoon, $101 for Brisbane. I put a couple hundred bucks on it.
Just to make it clear as well, you do not have a media pass, do you?
No.
So you can, and I do, and I do not bet. I just want to make there that abundantly clear.
If people were listening to that pod and put a cheeky couple of hundred bucks on Brisbane at $101 to finish bottom, we're about to be walking around town in a new pair of alligator shoes. Let's jump on. Let's go to the Sydney Kings.
Sydney Kings, right.
Cardiac Kings. So they played New Zealand. The foul count was 21-8 in favor of Sydney. Chase was still...
I get that mixed up. For some reason, I get his name mixed up so often.
It's Chase. Chase Buford.
Okay.
What he's chasing? I don't know. Maybe a car, like a road dog, you know, he's chasing it. But he's there. He was still upset about the foul count, thought New Zealand were over the top. Andrew Canyon, did you watch it? Did you see it? What'd you think?
I saw bits of the game. I didn't see the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So it's probably a little bit hard for me to make a determination on the refereeing. Basically, I tuned in really late because I forgot it was a New Zealand game that starts super early in Perth.
Mm.
So it sometimes makes it
difficult. Oh, wow. What, 2 in the afternoon? No, 5.
Something like that. It's like 2:30 or something, isn't it? I think. Something stupid.
Well,
anyway.
Yeah. If it's 5, it's about 5:30 over here. So that means it'd be, 2 o'clock over there.
So it's very easy to forget that it's happening.
Mm.
And I did. So I only saw sort of the end of it. And look, I don't know. I don't know what he was on about. And so I can't really comment. But I just think it's a bit rich to be having a whinge. You know, like New Zealand, they play. Mm. They got some big guys. You know, usually Cooks is able to have his way with plenty of players having the strength, and probably didn't have that same impact this game. So that's just the way it goes.
Mm. And Brown for New Zealand called Vaughan Mabry a cheat. Got a tech for it.
Yeah, that's not cool, is it?
Can't do that. You can't do that, but I don't think there's anything more should come of it.
No, I don't think so. And it doesn't seem like there is.
Mm.
So.
Well, the reason I want to talk about Sydney is their fourth quarters, their last 6 fourth quarters. -20, -8, +4, -6, -8, -14.
Yeah,
they are hemorrhaging fourth quarters. My question is, why is this the case?
I mean, what do you think? To me, it seems like Sean Bruce gets a lot of run in the fourth quarters. Mm-hmm. The other night, we had Bawali Bales starting the fourth quarter. And it doesn't seem like they're really... And Walton has sort of gone off the boil. So I don't have confidence in the backcourt. And I think that backcourt makes bad decisions. I mean, the Jack Jumpers game, the end of the third, they scored about 8 points consecutively.
Yeah.
And it was just Xavier Cooks just picking them apart. You know, he was just he was basically point forward. And then in the fourth quarter, they went away from that entirely. I just think that they don't. There's something going on in that backcourt that's not making good decisions. They don't have a depth. And Vasiljevic has been pretty cold.
Wow. Vasiljevic. Do you want to hear his last eight games? Sure. Have a guess what he is from three. Out of 47 attempts in the last eight games, guess how many he's made?
He's probably under 30%, so 11.
10. He's 10 of 47 from three in the last eight. Listen to his shooting splits. 12 points a game, 36% from the field, 29 from three. And that's, I think, before this game. I really can't recall when I took that stat down, but do the Kings fans need to worry about him?
Yeah, he's like the Blanchfield equivalent for Perth. Maybe that's a little too harsh. Wow. But he's
holster it, pal. Holy shit.
Has he reached Cam Glidden status yet?
No. I honestly think here's the problem, as I see it in the fourth. I agree with that. I'll speak to this game in particular, Tasmania. You're right. Bruce is just getting, his handle's not good enough. He's getting pushed to like quarter court. He doesn't instigate offense close enough. And then the shot clock gets wound down and then they're looking to do something late in the clock and it's no good. That particular game against Tasmania, they had Bales and Bruce and it was just a turnover machine. And also there was Buford on the sidelines. Bales made a really bad pass out of bounds, just couldn't absorb the pressure, the dribbling pressure, on the dribble, threw it out of bounds, and Buford's like, oh, it happens, you know, just shoot it in that instance. And you could tell the foot came off the gas, and I was like, wrong team. All the other eight teams in the league, you can kind of take, not Tasmania. They do not, and you just saw it from that point where Tasmania's demeanor didn't change, and then the Kings had to kind of come back to it, and that's a little bit of a symptom of their coach. I don't dislike Buford. I think he runs a pretty simple sort of style, which is quite good, but sometimes he's kicking the scoreboard, then he's having fun, then he's not, then he is, and he's not. And that's a symptom of their team where they kind of do this. So when the pressure, you know, as Ernest Hemingway would describe, grace under pressure, and they don't, that perhaps is not their strength. The other thing I'll say is Cooks, Simons, and DJ are all kind of catch and shoot players, catch and move guys. Last season had Adams, love to have a handle, and then obviously that secondary playmaking from Ian Clark. They don't have that this year. And so Walton's had to go searching because the only guy he can kind of get his own. And as I said, the offense is pretty simplistic that Buford likes to run. So that I observe anyway. And that's an issue there as well, where they've kind of got Walton on an island dribbling around too much and no one else has really got that motion. That's how I see it anyway.
Yeah. Now that's a really good insight. And Xavier Cooks is the only guy that can create something for himself or for teammates.
Of a catch and go type guy, and not in the same way that Clark and that was it.
And
Adams. So that's why I see it. But
I tell you what, that fourth quarter against Tasmania, I just want to say credit to Tassie. Of all the teams in the competition, I don't know if this is a good description, but they have the most torque. And I mean that in the sense that it doesn't matter how bogged down they get, they just keep going. It's like the engine never conks out, and they can just keep the engine turning over, and they just hang around, as we've said before, and they get wins. Other teams need like a momentum boost. You know, they need a big shot. They need something to happen. Whereas Tassie just sort of keep going like a four-wheel drive in low gear on sand.
Let me tell you something. Tassie, they're all talk. TORQUE. That's a t-shirt, can't you?
There you go.
That's a t-shirt. We're barking up this live podcast tree. Make the t-shirt. Sell that for 30 quid. Make a fortune. That's great. I really like the way you put that. They have talk. They just, but they were like that a year ago. They don't, stop.
It's their brand identity, and it works. And they just killed it.
But also Jack McVay hitting these shots. He was incredible.
I love Jack McVay these days.
We were piping him up when he was in Adelaide. We're like, oh, we think this guy can play.
Yeah.
Didn't get any time under Henry. And he goes to Tasmania. He's had two great seasons.
He seems like such a good dude now. You know, like seems really comfortable, really settled, in a good place. And between you got him on one wing and then you've got Milton Doyle on the other wing.
Oh, Doyle, man.
It's like, geez.
He's as good as his mother is talkative on Twitter. She is. She has been one of the best things for NBL Twitter this season. Queen of the deck. Mwah, love you.
Unfortunately, Twitter. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about your Twitter handle right at the end. Yeah. We'll do that. Yeah. We're going to talk about this, people, because people want to know. People have been telling me, where's Canyon on the Twitter? New Zealand. I just want to go back. This is last week. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. Moody Mayor and the Webster social media thing. And then Moody throws the socialist team under the bus. Are you giving it a tick or a cross? Let's do this quickly.
Man, I've always been excited for social media teams to be edgy. And the Kiwis used to do it so well. A couple of seasons ago, whoever they had running it a couple of seasons ago were elite.
Fearless.
And I feel like this team, they're trying to get a bit of edginess back, but it's a bit weak. And I didn't see the big deal about that billboard thing. Like, who cares?
Neither.
Just, like, big deal.
I'm gonna say, but Moody Mayor coming out in the presser, it was a high flying joke that fell flat. He's giving it. We got Don Rickles over here telling people what's funny and what's not. I gave it a big red cross. Nah, Moody, you lost a point away from me. Still like the guy, but point away.
Yeah, why are we caring so much about what they say on their social media platforms? Jeez. It doesn't bother me. And but like Moody said, they'll learn as an organization, and you know,
nothing by accident. What was that quote he gave you that time?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, nothing's.
You should have just said, "I don't have an opinion on this."
Nothing's a fluke.
Nothing's a fluke. You should have said, "I'm not. Don't have an opinion on this." But anyway, let's jump on. Oh no, we're staying with Sydney. Speak a different presser this time.
Yes,
Buford's presser. Were you in it? Did you listen to it?
No, I haven't been. I haven't been up for any of the joining in on the press conferences recently. It's just been a sort of a challenging roster, and at home, bit going on at home, so time has been short. I'm just lucky to catch the games. Buford press conference though, yeah, he turns up and it's just him in a leather chair next to him.
And then is that finable? We had conversation with people on Twitter. Is this finable to not have a player with you in the presser?
I'm sure it used to be, but they're not going to fine him, are they?
No, they're not going to.
But he's just a bad look. And it's like you were saying before, he's so up and down. And he just seems so petulant. And
careful.
Well, you know.
You're going to lose that media pass. You're going to fucking whip it. They're going to snatch that lanyard from your friend.
I know he's disappointed to have lost the game, right? Mm. But that's no excuse. You still come out there. Like every single game, a coach loses that game. And that coach comes out, and a player comes out, and they face the music for the 6 minutes of press conference or whatever it takes.
And it's not a grilling.
It's not a grilling.
It's not a grilling. Come on.
No, you're not going to get the tough questions asked of you. But it was just his short answers. It's just like, come on, mate. Come on. Be serious.
Yeah, I only watched a little bit of it. He was quite curt. But that's part of the reason on the fourth. They got to get up to get down, get down to get up.
I'm surprised Paul Smith didn't join the press conference.
not going to discuss it. Let's move on. Do you want to talk about Adelaide? Do you want to talk about Perth? Do you want to talk about Melbourne?
Oh, so many options. Let's do Melbourne.
All right.
Talk about Melbourne. What do you got? What do we got for us here in Melbourne?
Talk to Melbourne about Melbourne. I want to say this about Melbourne. Have a guess what they've been involved in 9 matches decided by 10 points or less. Guess what their win-loss is in those contests?
Ofer?
They are 3 wins, 6 losses in games decided by 10 points or less. That's bad. For a team like Melbourne, that's bad.
Well, they're bad. Makes sense.
No, but they've had some losses that are just crazy. I mean, the Perth loss was crazy.
Yeah,
they had
true.
Another one by a point. What was it? Jack Jumpers. They kind of choked it away. I can't remember now. But 3-6. This is their Dean Vickerman coach team. Are you shocked to hear that record?
A little bit. Yeah. I guess they've got a losing record, so they're going to have lost more than they win. But it is a bit shocking because they've traditionally been a pretty good closing team.
Did you think it's a condemnation of Vickerman? That to me, in games 10 points or less, especially the one that they lost to Perth where they give up a rebound, there was panic. Panic at the Disco in the last couple of 45 seconds, and it cost them big time. I think that record is an indictment of Vickerman. What do you think?
No, I think it's an indictment on the roster. Okay. Like they don't have level-headed dudes.
They've got wily vets. They've got the oldest roster in the oldest roster in basketball across the planet.
I know that. Well, that's the other problem, isn't it? You know, like, you need that happy medium, and they've got
right.
They got old guys, and they got like crazy guys, and it doesn't seem like they've got the balance quite right.
So, I want to ask you a question. That finish to that game, the Wildcats, Blanchfield hits the 3-point play, misses the foul shot, rebound, back out to Webster for the three and the win.
Yep.
Amazing finish. I hope the NBL really pumps it and pushes it out to every fair weather NBL, you know, people who aren't into the sport and just say, look at this finish. That was so much fun. We were chatting. We're like, these Wildcats suck. This is terrible. And then boom, this happens. A crazy turn of events. One of the best finishes to a game of sport in the last month. Amazing.
Yep. It was an incredible finish. Yeah, just Blanchfield hasn't done anything all season except for in Cairns. And then he hits that wing three, which keeps him sort of just within touch. And then he does that. He misses the free throw. And I'm sure he was trying to make that. I don't know what your read on that was. I thought he was trying to make it
for sure.
Yeah. And totally. he just stood there and the ball just landed in his lap.
And no one came across to get it. It was just
like, it's like under tens kind of thing. You don't get taught, you step out in front of the shooter.
It's the first thing you do. Unbelievable. And, how do these players allow that to happen? That's just panic. That's just 10,000 people. That's a
they've been watching
the Red Army.
They've been watching the Wildcats box out, attempt to box out and sort of
the Wildcats and rebounding. I mean, I still hate this team. I mean, they lost the rebound count.
They're atrocious. They're still terrible, but they're lucky.
or Melbourne are cursed. I just thought, Melbourne, how could you lose that? That was their season. I think if they'd won this game, which they looked the goods to do, there was a chance for their season, and now it's ruined. I just wanted to bring this up. Golding and Tucker were a combined 2 of 15 from outside.
It's not
that's
good.
Dreadful. 10 of 31 on the floor. Golding, here's a little stat for you. Fun little stat. He's taken 231 field goal attempts this season, right?
Yeah.
Both twos and threes. What percentage of them do you think are from the three-point line or beyond?
Oh, gosh. 84%.
You know what? You'd be right to think it. It's just below 70. 67%.
Okay.
But let's call that 70%.
I don't recall him attacking the rim too much.
And that's emblematic of this team. They're just not. They've only got two guys that can get to the foul line, Tucker and XRM, and Shaley to a lesser extent. They're just not. And that's why when they bleed points, they give it up at the other end because they can't slow the clock, get to the line. Rajon Tucker. I want to talk to you about this guy. United are 1-5 when Tucker scores 20 points plus. Empty carbs. And the only win came against Brisbane, that one where Brisbane just gave up.
No, you can't claim a win against Brisbane as being any great achievement, can you?
Is Tucker... No, of course not. Is Tucker a NBL second teamer?
No.
Is Tucker one of the best 20 players in the NBL?
Probably not.
I know that's really
probably
hard.
Not. It's a lot of numbers. There's a lot of people. Maybe he'd just slot in at the low end of that.
Well, he'd have to be one of the two best players on all the teams. You know, like would you put him above? Sort of. Yeah, he'd be around the conversation for top 20. But here's the thing.
I think I'd take Michael Frazier over him.
Oh, stop. Behave. I like Tucker. I think they could be doing a lot more with him. He'll give up 6 to 8 points on defense with atrocious,
it's terrible,
absent-mindedness. He will. But they just didn't look for him against Perth. I mean, he had Blanchfield on half the time, and he just couldn't get going. I don't know. I think Tuck is good, but he hasn't played like it.
Yeah, they need to find him on more lobs and that kind of stuff. Like,
there's no dynamism on this team at all.
He almost needs to be like sort of play a bit like what Leonard Copeland used to be for the Tigers. You know, just like flying at the ring.
Can you imagine how much he'd love playing with McCarron?
Oh yeah.
And just guy who's so willing to pass and good vision and out in the break. I mean, there's just no fast break from Melbourne whatsoever.
No.
They're really bad. Is their season done? Oh, I have this one question for you.
Yep.
Is there any chance Melbourne, who now sit at 6-11, 6 wins, 11 losses, finish above Perth, who are now 8 wins, 7 losses?
Yeah, I can't see it happening. I really think this is coming down to Perth v Adelaide for that final spot. And I think basically we're looking at, Melbourne, Brisbane, Illawarra as the final three. And I think Illawarra might jump Brisbane at this rate because I think the players are checked out at Brisbane. They won't care. And Illawarra's got three reasonable imports, so they'll get some wins.
Don't be surprised if Baines gets shut down either.
Yeah.
Melbourne, 6 and 11. I mean, so they've played 17 games. Perth have played 15.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's if the NBL ladder is correct, which
is if the NBL ladder is correct.
Not always the case.
Might I remind you, though, this, and you got to think about this in the sense of Melbourne, Perth, and Adelaide. I don't like Adelaide, right? I just don't like them. They don't play deep. A reminder that in 2 weeks, Perth go on a 5-game road trip. Cairns, Brisbane, Illawarra, New Zealand, Sydney. If Brisbane decide to show some grit under a new coach, they could take out the Wildcats. If they just say, we're just going to rebound the ball.
They beat them before, didn't they?
They beat them before, exactly. Illawarra, probably a bit more harder to ask. But I see there is a world in which, I mean, Perth will likely lose to Cairns. They'll likely lose to New Zealand and Sydney.
Yep.
If they lose all five of these, they're Melbourne United, they're right back in it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I am not, call me deluded, but I am not ruling out Melbourne just yet. I'm not doing it. Because I think Melbourne are better than Adelaide. What's Adelaide's record?
They are 6-8.
Three games in hand.
Yeah, three consecutive losses.
What's their strength of schedule? Do you have any idea?
I haven't got it. No. They play the Bullets next, so they'll get a win.
Melbourne's got a lot of Illawarra and a lot of Brisbane and a lot of Adelaide on their schedule. I actually don't think it's wholeheartedly done for Melbourne. I think it's the slightest thing. Sorry.
See, we allowed to mention that you had the COVID.
Yeah, I sorry for the.
That's why we missed.
There.
We missed last episode.
I was as sick as a dog, I'm not ruling out Melbourne just yet. Not ruling out Melbourne just yet on the strength of that Perth difficulty of schedule.
So, Adelaide, were we going to talk about them or not?
Yeah, do it.
I'll just say they've still got an import to bring in, right?
They're not going to do that.
This is the thing that gives me hope for them to just sneak in above Perth in this playoff situation. If they can add another player, they could come over the top of Perth now.
I wholeheartedly disagree. First of all, I don't think they're going to add an import. That is just not Grant Kelly's MO in the entire time we've seen him on this team. He's not a spender. And then secondly, we know what's going on in his, private legal life.
Yes.
I don't think he's going to be, while writing checks to lawyers, also be writing a check to, the rumor was Scott Machado.
That would not help. That would not move the needle, Scott Machado.
Yeah, me neither. But he's just a convenient. I think he's still here in the country and, a decent player and he's rehabbed.
They'd be better off signing Devondrick Walker.
This is a name I agree with because I do have about Adelaide. Yeah, this is interesting. Post Randall, the 36ers, have a guess their record. They've played 7 games.
They won like 2 or something.
3 wins, 4 losses.
Yeah, okay.
They've
seemed more harmonious, but not actually better.
Harmonious, but not better. Good way to put that. They've got 2 major deficiencies. What are they in your mind?
Well, who scores the ball is one of my things. Bit hot, cold, and to me, it's that Sunday Dech kind of. He's not been playing well.
He has not been well.
It's that off guard kind of small forward position when we're not talking Robert Franks. Drimmick had a couple of good games. He sort of regressed back to the mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that kind of position there, which is where Randall was sat. That to me is their weakness. What do you think?
To me, it's 2 things. How do they improve the defense? I don't think you can bring in a guy who just clicks your defense. They either try on that end and Franks either becomes something and, I mean, DJ's never going to play any D, but they either improve that. But here's what I'll say as well, and this is what I think is the major deficit, and this is the one I'd address because you can actually address this in free agency with an import signing quite well. From the outside, from the 3-point percentage since they lost Randall. They've gone 20 as a team, 27% in a loss, 24%, 33%, 30, 24, 23, 25. Oof. That's in the last three, that's the last seven games. That's not great. That's dreadful.
That's Brady Manic numbers.
Sam, exactly. So my thought is you can't really improve defense with one guy, but if you bring in a gunner who can really shoot it,
yeah,
aka kind of Walker, but maybe even you're better player than that, you get a guy who can help with that. So I think they go out and get someone who is just a marksman at any position, preferably a guard, wing, whatever it is, just get him. And
what about Dusty Hannes?
Dusty Hannes? John Robison? Remember him? He was a
guy. Yeah, he was a good shooter.
What's he doing? He's probably out of their price range. But that's the other thing I want to say. Also, Perth. McCarron, I wanted to go back to Perth. McCarron had 9 offensive rebounds, and this is the week after Kadi had 8.
I know, it's so incredible.
They're giving up.
Perth is so bad at rebounding. It's hilarious.
They just don't try.
No. And they just, Perth have nobody that can, like, not only do they not do the fundamentals, but they've got no player that can just grab the ball, you know, just go up and get it. Like Luke Travers is probably the most, above the rim player they've got. And he's lanky, but he's not super, super duper athletic. Everybody says he is, but I'm still not believing that. He's lanky.
His dunks are softer than a down pillow. That's how I describe it. But and Brady Manic, everyone's like, oh, two good games, good signing. Like, nope. We're not impressed. Our skirts have not been blown up.
No.
Not impressed.
He is still one of the worst imports out there. He had a good game. He had the David Ware game.
And it saved his contract. David Ware games.
Two. Yep. Saved his contract.
Saved his contract. And the manager was like, oh, God, thank God we don't have to do paperwork.
Yeah, we don't have to do it.
No admin. Early mark, everybody. Drinks on me down at wherever. jump on here. I'm so sorry. The ladder currently sits as Sydney, New Zealand. Oh, this is before that game. It's probably all thrown off now. You can never tell with the NBL ladder. NBL website, it's changed.
It has.
Better or worse. Andrew Canyon, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's got new skin. I'm not sure the engine behind it has changed much, but it looks nicer. Definitely sort of easier to navigate. I was never a big fan of their last website. The real test, and I'm just going to test it now, is when you go into the news article, do you get that stupid little close box that you've got to... Oh, yeah, you do. Where you, it almost like sometimes hijacks the back button on your browser, although it did seem to work that time.
There you go.
So maybe that's an upgrade. There you go. You always had to hit that close button rather than just going back. But look, it's looking nice. You know, it looks full. There's a lot of activity on the website. It's looking good. It's not as good as NBLPocketPodcast.com.
Oh, well.
But you know.
That's a race for second best.
Kind of a try. It's there.
Is there anything glaring that they've missed where you're like, oh, I thought a website of this caliber? Definitely.
I haven't looked yet, but they've always typically struggled for historical stats. I'm just quickly looking back here. No, and hard to kind of find stuff effectively. Even if they have it, to actually find it out, it's always a bit of a challenge. They got some old stats in here, but I don't know how useful it would be for analysis purposes.
I don't see it. I got to tell you, I quite like it. I will say this. We had a question from a patron, Sydney Sea Kings. Sydney, how you doing? And the question was, what changes would you make or what would you really want to see on the site? And I don't think my answer to that is, I don't think it's so much for the site, but one thing I'd love to DMBL to do is, I've always said a lot of leagues misunderstand how many people, how much time they spend with their product. And I think the NBL can be that sometimes where its media is just a little bit too slightly alienating of the total newcomer who's just like, I don't really care about the league. I just want to see a TV show where I don't know the outcome, right? Which is the fourth quarter of a basketball game. Oh, okay. Yeah. Perth play Melbourne. who's going to win? I don't know. Great. I'll just sit here to find out who wins, even if they don't know a single person on the floor. Yeah, and that to me would be a lot of people in this country. So what I'd love to see the NBL do is do more fourth quarter alerts if the game is close. I know they do it sometimes for overtime. I get a notification.
Yep.
That. But gee, I just love stings about, it's a 10-point game going into the fourth. Check it out now on K or whatever. And I don't know whether they do that on Twitter so much or how they make that a notification. The other thing is, here's what I'd be doing if I was NBL. Network 10. They do the stuff on Sunday. The games are on 10 Peach, right?
Yep.
If there's a close game, I'd say, hey, Channel 10 main channel, do you mind doing a thing in the lower third? So whatever plays it on the main channel, be it fucking 4x4 adventures or whatever it is, just a little running tag, like heading into the fourth, Brisbane are down 10. Or that wouldn't happen.
Good idea.
I'd be saying, hey, can we do that? That's not a hard thing to do, little LVO in the broadcast room. And just to sting on the main channel, you know, put yourself in every best position. I don't think it'd be richly compelling. I don't think a lot of people would turn over, but, you know, if 100 people turn over, well, it's 100 people.
Yeah. So. One of the things I'd like to see on the website, and they kind of do it, but they're pretty good at getting highlights up on social media.
Amazing.
Quickly. They're very good at that, right? But they're basically just handing their IP to another service. They've got a website. Why is that highlight not pushed to their own website?
What would be the difference? What would be the benefit? Because Twitter, my answer would be Twitter's got a user base of a couple of million people in this country. That's why they do it.
True. Oh, and I'm not saying don't do Twitter. Like, keep doing Twitter, but it's kind of not, you're thinking, oh, I want to go see some NBL highlights, as a game's going on. I've got to go to Twitter and then I've got to find NBL on Twitter and then, or Instagram. Well, I don't know. Maybe is it so hard that same thing just gets pushed also to the website and you just have like a stream of like plays now happening kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they don't do that. They don't put up their in plays on the site. It's a good question. I don't know why.
They've got the highlights post game. They do the little packages, but while it's happening, seems like maybe. I noticed they've got the new website as well, has its own podcast tab. And I'll tell you what, the podcast world has really heated up recently. And this used to be like the only show in town, right? If you wanted to know about NBL, you're basically NBL Pocket Podcast was your own place to go. Now there's just so many podcasts.
Well, they're cheap and easy to make.
That's speak for yourself.
Oh, dear me. Apologies, everyone. The last thing I'll say is this. Can I throw out another idea? You might remember the NBL. Remember NBL Sprint, that fourth quarter idea?
Yeah.
What an idea that was. Well, my next idea to take basketball to the main channel, the project. The project had a number of people leave of late. Carrie Bickmore, bunch of on camera talent. I would say a lot of the divisiveness is over the Sunday project, which is their show, because the project puts out a weekly show and then on the Sunday as well. If I was the basketball in the NBA, I'd be going, maybe we can get ourselves a little bit of that Sunday project to ease the strain on the project, bring them down from six shows to five, or even just take the first half hour or the second half hour and do something there. And maybe that might help quell the talent departures at the project. Something like that. Roving on the shoulder, you know.
Same from some overwork. Yep.
Something like, call it NBL basket cases. You got people telling jokes. You got sports. I don't know. Just saying. Pete Helly is a big basketball fan. What do I know? My voice is failing me. But that's it.
There we go.
I think we're done.
That's it.
Except quickly look ahead. Game of the round. Next
one. Last thing. We got to talk about the social situation.
Real quick. People have noticed. I would say you may have noticed out there. Andrew's not on Twitter anymore, and it's very sad. Andrew, come on, tell the people what's going on.
Yeah, okay. So Twitter is just basically a dumpster fire these days. Mm-hmm. I struggle with just being a part of a platform which is run by a crazy man like Elon Musk. I don't agree with his views of the world. I really struggle with it. And so I've just been like, and I just don't find it enjoyable being a part of that anymore. So I'm like, eh, I'm not going to use it. You know, the product, they put out a product. I'm a buyer, I'm a customer, and I look at the product they're selling me, and I'm like, not for me. Don't wish to purchase it. So I'm not using it.
People want to interact with you. I tried to talk him out of it, people. I said, listen, separate the man from the art, the man from the app. Can't do it.
Yeah. Now look at this. Yeah. Now I want to steal an analogy that I heard from somebody else. It's not my own, right? So I might butcher it a little bit because I'm retelling it secondhand. But it's like you used to go to a bar, right? And you used to hang out at the bar that you really enjoyed. There were good people at the bar. And it was nice. And then new ownership takes over. And then you realize that the bar's not really being looked after the same way. They don't have the same bouncers at the door. Gee, a lot of dodgy people have been let into this bar and they're shouting at me and they're yelling things that I can't help overhear. I don't really like this bar anymore. But there's another bar down the street. You can go to that.
Oh, and come on.
And you're... mate. And we can all go.
You cannot convince me and people that Bar Twitter is not better than Bar Mastodon. You can't, are you not going to do that?
Look, it's a bar. Ultimately, is just it's just the people, right? So if you
but then Twitter's got good people. You're turning your backs on all those good Twitter users, there are plenty.
I'm telling those good people to find themselves a Mastodon instance and get set up. It's not that hard.
I don't know.
So you'll find me on Mastodon. Right? My username is @canyon@social.lol. @canyon@social.lol.
Yeah.
There's even a MBL Pocket Podcast Mastodon, and that's @mblpp@nbl.social.
That's actually a pretty good handle.
It is, isn't it?
That I don't hate. That I don't hate. Folks, I'll still be on Twitter. Love the app. Don't care for its politics, but I'm a cuck. So what? I'll be on there. You can hit me up anytime. And if you send me something for Andrew, I will pass it on. I won't tell them that it came through Twitter. So he'll answer. There you go, people. You can still catch the man, most importantly. Have you deactivated your account or is it just...
No, because then somebody else can move in and grab the username. Yes.
No.
So I already lost my @Canyon years ago on Twitter. And that's why I'm at Andrew Canyon now. So I'm not going to learn that lesson.
No, no lesson.
Thank you for that.
No. So you can still spam him there, people. Let's do the round game 11. Of the round and then let's get out of here. Round 11.
There's like some duds. There's like 6,000 games, though, this round.
There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Here's a problem, though. Illawarra, Brisbane. Illawarra played two games this round. Oh, no. Illawarra and Brisbane played two games this round each.
Ooh, wow. There she got your weekend back, people.
Oh, dear. Four dead spots on the schedule. So you got a game of the round for me? I think we're going to be in agreement on this one.
Well, it's not another bloody throwdown. My
not
God.
The throwdown. No.
Jeez, how many of those have we had in a row?
Oh, jeez. Throw them in the bin at this point. Good gravy.
Boring. I'm liking Tassie versus Cairns.
Okay, yeah, that's December 17th, 5:30 here on the East Coast, everybody.
That's my Saturday game. And then my Sunday peach game.
Peach.
I'm going to go with Southeast Melbourne, Sydney.
Yeah, I think they're the two games of the round for sure. Let's go Tasmania Cairns. Who wins that one? That's in Tasmania.
It is, and I think Tasmania get it.
I concur.
Just too reliable.
Too reliable.
Too Cairns. Much talk. Too
much. And the other one, SEM, SYD.
Is it played at the Gippsland Regional Indoor Sports Stadium? Where the hell's Gippsland? I'm going to say Southeast Melbourne get that one.
No, I think Sydney.
Okay.
I think Sydney. I think Southeast Melbourne. They've also got a game earlier in the round, so there's a bit of fatigue there. Or just Sydney have? They both do have games earlier in the round. No, I still think Sydney. I think. I think Buford will be up them to be better, and I think they will. They've got a nice, easy little hit out against Illawarra the 2 days before that, so they'll be in good sweat.
There we go. Well, we shall see.
The creaks No, what's his name? Cooks and Creek battle. Cooks and Creeks.
Oh, just while we're tipping winners, can I just really quickly pump my own tires up? The MBL, the footy tips tipping competition. I hope everybody's still participating in that.
Oh, I remember putting in tips for round one. Good. And never revisiting again. Now, Fantasy 2. Wow.
Oh, Fantasy's like dead to me. I knew this would happen.
Long forgotten.
I knew that would happen after like seven rounds. I lost interest in that. But the tipping competition I can do. And I just want to say, of the like 7,000 or 8,000 people registered in the tipping comp overall, I was coming third, my friend.
Wow. And what happened?
I've never been that high. Well, nothing's happened.
You're still third.
Yeah.
That's
I've
high.
Never been that high in anything.
That is amazing.
I know. So end the comp there. I'll take my rose gold medal and go home.
Yeah, I would. I'd trade in now. I'd cash out.
So those who are following the tip and listening to us and thinking, who's going to be right, Joe or Andrew? Well, I'm just saying. Just saying, Joe.
Yeah, well, listen to the man. Follow his tips. Go sign up to the tipping comp. It's not too late. It's too late. You're never going to win. It's round 11. What are you thinking? Don't even bother. But sign up nonetheless and have some fun. This was fun.
Fan man of the stand.
Yeah, the fan man of the stand. Sports Media Minnow.
Sports Media Minnow.
I don't know where all that's going now. But people out there, to recap, follow me on Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod. Follow Andrew at some weird Mastodon.
At Canyon at social.lol.
At canyon.social/thisisascam.com. The live show, people, if you're in Perth, if nothing else, come and watch the game on the big screen and then take off. I wouldn't feel bad about that. That's fine.
I would.
I can understand why. I wouldn't. I hate myself. Why should anyone else be any different? And then also, Patreon. If you like the show and you're listening for the first time or whatever, I do consider becoming a patron. I mean, I get emails from these NBL teams all the time. Hey, get this, buy that, come and get a ticket to this, whatever. I got an idea, NBL clubs. One of you sign up to the Patreon. How about that? And then we'll actually treat you with some respect.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
That would be good.
Make that happen.
Andrew, you got the final word, man. Let's get out of here.
You always give me the final word, Joseph Court, and I never know what to say. So this time I'm just going to say final word.